From NPR News, it's Day to Day. Turnout was very low in Nepal's elections yesterday, even though citizens of the Himalayan Kingdom have not been allowed to vote since the late 90s. Many regard this election as a sham designed to give some legitimacy to their autocratic king. And as NPR's Philip Reeves reports, that was not the only reason that most Nepalis stayed home.
It was never going to be easy for Nepalese to go out and vote. There was a general strike. The country's Maoist insurgents had proved willing to kill those who broke it. There was a government ban on all but official vehicles in Kathmandu. And Nepal's security services had been told they could shoot anyone who disrupted the polls. That meant either walking to the polling booths or weaving through the city's narrow alleys in a bicycle rickshaw. In the end, it didn't matter. Most Nepalese didn't want to vote anyway. Nepal's King Gyanendra had hoped to see his ancient capital filled with people on election day. Kathmandu's usually awash with noise and traffic and pollution, yet this time it was engulfed by a great hush, interrupted only by temple bells and birdsong. In the cluster of temples around Durbar Square, in better days packed with tourists, police and troops guarded a polling station. By the day's end, the Electoral Commission was talking about a turnout of around 20%. These were only municipal elections, but they were the first polls in 7 years in Nepal. The king had hoped they'd help convince a sceptical world he was stepping back from autocracy and towards democracy. He's been under intense pressure at home and abroad to restore multi-party democracy after seizing control a year ago, saying this was the only way to crush the Maoist insurgency. But his subjects wouldn't play ball.
I have no intention of voting. There are security reasons which is not letting me vote, and I have no intention of voting.
Bikari Shah owns a small shop in Kathmandu's Tamil district. He says he's not a Maoist, nor is he an ardent monarchist. He just wants an end to the violence that's plagued his country for 10 years and a return to a peaceful, profitable life. Kabin Shahid, another small businessman, was even less interested in the election.
I don't even know who the candidate is, so what's the point in voting?
There was always going to be a high level of disenchantment with these elections. After all, there were no candidates for half the posts, and the mainstream political parties boycotted the entire process. The issue now is what happens next. Azu Rana Dioba of the Democratic Nepali Congress Party says the pressure on the king will continue to grow.
The people have known themselves to be sovereign for so long, and they are not accepting, you know, the king's sovereignty anymore. And so it's a very, very narrow thread that the king is standing on.
The bottom line here is the king's power.
Kunda Dixit, editor of the Nepali Times.
How much power should he have? Now, if he was a visionary statesman like king, what he'd do would be voluntarily, you know, hand or at least start the process of handing power back to people's representatives genuinely, you know, not have these showcase elections. And that is the crux of the matter here.
And that's a matter which this week's elections did nothing to settle. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Kathmandu.